We want to bring a conclusion to our series, Starting Strong. And as you can already tell, we have a theme going on here from the children to even last Sunday as we had about 140 folks downstairs. Just in being encouraged and encouraging one another as church could not be church without you all being the hands and feet of Jesus and serving. And so we wanted to appreciate all those who are making a difference. And so the theme today will be Serve Strong. And I've kind of retitled it, No More Ifs, Ands, or Buts. No More Ifs, Ands, or Buts. And so Exodus 3, just three verses here we're going to look at this morning. Exodus 3, and now behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh so that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? Serving Christ is our true high call and privilege and purpose. It's something I observed in my parents growing up, though they were not in vocational ministry. They always got to church early and many times during the week to serve, to cook, to clean, to lead Bible studies. And that really shaped my understanding that faith is not only something you believe in, but it's something that you do. It's how you live your life. We serve because we are servants, plain and simple. And yet as we look at this passage, a critical point in redemptive history, as God had a plan to bless all the nations on earth through one group of people, and through that one group of people, a Messiah would come. And so here we have God encountering Moses. It would be very easy to paint a picture that would cause shame and guilt about how important it is to serve, but all of us are in different places and spaces in our lives when it comes to serving. And we've looked at some of these in a little bit of a humorous way just a couple years ago, where I've shared that there are, I believe, different types of servers. One of them is what we call the hibernators. Who are the hibernators? Hibernators are those that have been through a season of service and ministry, and you are burnt out, burnt to a crisp. And your prayer and what you are trying to communicate to me through your eyes is, don't you dare ask me to do a thing, Pastor. You don't know what I have been through. You're, in fact, lucky that I'm even here. So don't give me a hard time. And you know what? I want to recognize that there are times in our lives where we have reached our limits. We've not practiced good self-care. We have forgotten that God is on the throne, and we have put ourselves in there, and life doesn't go too well when you are the king of the universe rather than the Lord God. But I want to recognize that this is real, and it's okay to take a step back for a season, to rest and take inventory and to heal and just be. And so I want to give you permission to do that. Find refreshment. Let God begin to work on your own heart and your loved ones. But don't hibernate forever. For once you step out, take a time to refresh yourself, but make sure you get back in the game, and we'll be talking about it. But there are the hibernators. We also have talked about, does anyone remember Lemonhead? Does anyone like Lemonheads? Some of us, after an experience or a season of service, are not only just burnt out, but we are sour. We're a little bit bitter. We're a little bit angry, for we've been a little bit wounded. And though churches, I hope, don't ever want to intentionally wound or hurt people, because as leaders, pastors, we are still sinful. We have our limitations, and we do make mistakes. And so there might be some of us who aren't just tired, but we are angry. And we're a bit bitter. We're sour, like a lemon head. And my challenge as we go throughout this and see exactly what happened to Moses here is that God would begin to change that sour taste into sweet wine and begin to heal you and refresh you as well. There are others that, hibernators, lemonettes, what's that? You are like the, does anyone remember the Energizer Bunny? You just what, keep going and going and going. And some of you are very much an Energizer Bunny. It's not just in your ministry, but it's really who you are in life. You just keep going and going and going. Nothing is gonna stop you. You're invincible. You are a machine. You are an Energizer Bunny. And though people will respect you and maybe recognize you and acknowledge you, there is a dark side, is there not, to going and going and going, where sometimes our activity and our busyness becomes how we find meaning and significance for ourselves, and as soon as activity stops, there's such a loud emptiness in our souls because we have equated doing and being busy with our value and self-worth. When that activity stops and silence sets in, that horrifies us. And so we keep going and going and going. And perhaps you need to hibernate for a little bit. And perhaps you need to unplug from your titles and positions and responsibilities just for a little bit, to be reminded that it's not what you do, but it's really who you are and whose you are as a beloved child of God in Jesus Christ. Some of us are like the quality control manager. These types of folks, these servers, ironically, often are people that aren't even serving. And their gift to humanity and to the local church is their ministry to be able to be the self-declared observers, critiquers, the ones who can provide great insight and assessment on how you can do your job better, without even being asked to give your assessment or advice, because you are the self-proclaimed, self-designated self-installed quality control manager. And often these folks are actually very critical, a little bit negative, and they constantly are evaluating and judging and are very quick to offer their unsolicited advice. But you know what? I'm glad that you're here. And I think my challenge would be to maybe take a look in the mirror and allow self-evaluation to begin with yourself first. Some of us, when it comes to serving, fall into the category of you are the new guy. You actually do want to jump in, but you're not really sure how. And you don't have a long history here or in this community or even here in New England. You don't know a lot of our history here at Trinity that I'm still getting to know, all the odds and ends of that. And so sometimes we are a little bit insecure and we're not sure where we fit in, and we stand on the sidelines wondering if we'll really belong, if we really will be accepted, or that nervousness. We all remember being the new kid, the new guy, the new person, whether at work or at school or a church community. And so some of us may fall into that. Finally, I've labeled this the good time Charlie. You enjoy the ministries, actually. You're not bitter. You don't need to hibernate. You enjoy the programs and the worship and all that's being offered, but you don't really serve. You enjoy, you consume, you're having a good time, and yet the opportunity to really begin to roll up one's sleeves, realize that it takes manpower, it takes resources, it takes sacrifice, and sometimes inconvenience and boldness to step out of our shell. And so the good time Charlies are all over the place having a great time, but it hasn't really dawned on them that it actually takes manpower and volunteers to come early, to do things behind the scenes and throughout the week, in order for people to come and enjoy the ministries that we are able to offer. And so here we go back. As you think about, you know, could I possibly be one of these six types of folks that we just went over? And yes, it's a little tongue-in-cheek, but I think there's some truth, and all of us, including myself, can relate to probably some time in our lives identifying with one of these six. And so Moses is in this great encounter with God, and God has amazing plans that Moses has no idea or full understanding about, that the coming of the Messiah is going to come out of this community of people, but they've been in bondage, and Moses is being called to serve in this capacity. And just like us, when something comes our way, when God is wanting to work in your life and mine, almost always we come up with an excuse. For instance, Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out? Who am I?" Excuse number one, "I'm not that important. Who am I that you want me to go to Pharaoh, the most powerful ruler and human being on earth, to go and demand to release his people?" And all of us can probably relate to this excuse that we often give to others, but especially to God. "Who am I? I'm not that important." But God always uses the nobodies of this world to accomplish his great plans and purposes. And as we begin to serve, may we never, ever forget that we are still nobodies. And as we live out that reality of humility, that God still desires to use you and I. Baptist preacher Henry Blackaby, in a course that probably a lot of us may be familiar with, Experiencing God, really impacted me and challenged me. Said that some people say God will never ask me to do something I can't do. But I have come to a place in my life that if the assignment I sense God has given me is something that I know I can handle, I know it's probably not from God. The kind of assignments God gives in the Bible are always God-sized. And so, do we give that excuse? I'm a nobody, I'm not that important. Maybe not. Secondly, skipping down to chapter 4, verse 1 here in Exodus, and Moses answered, "But behold, they will not believe me or listen to my voice, for they will say, 'The Lord did not appear to you.'" Excuse number 2, I'm not legitimate. Because for those of us that are familiar with the Moses story, he had some things in his past that he was absolutely broken about in his life. To think about taking another person's life, to run away, to be in hiding. He has lived in shame and darkness and trying to bring healing to his own heart, trying to deal with his past. That was what was going on here. His great fear, no one has said this yet, but in his imagination, out of that guilt and shame from his past, "The Lord did not appear to you. You're a liar, Moses. You don't have the character to do what you are trying to do. You are not legitimate. You are a poser. You're a fake, a phony. We don't believe you." And Moses would begin to come to understand that no failure is final with God. God is a God of life, not of death. God can bring healing where there is brokenness. He shines his light in the darkest places. He can transform. He can forgive. And that's what Moses would experience. No matter our regrets and hauntings in our past, the blood of Jesus can truly clean us, redeem us, renew us, give us new life, and we can serve him. And so, though Moses' past haunts him, "I'm a fake, I'm a phony, I'm not legitimate," God will still use him to carry his plans and his purposes. Verse 10, number 3, as we move along here, Moses said, "Oh, my Lord, I'm not eloquent either in the past or since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and tongue. I am not," excuse number 3, "talented enough. I don't have the gifts. How can I?" And the problem is that he thought by the power of his persuasion of being able to speak well and convince in his own power and strength that he'd be able to convince Pharaoh. He forgot that God just needs an idiot to open up his mouth and God will speak and use him. He could use a donkey, he could use a rock, he could use anything. And he'll even use a guy named Moses. "I'm not talented enough. I'm not good enough. I don't have enough." Scarcity mindset. It sounds like it's humble, but it's not. It's actually pride. You have to be good enough. You have to be talented enough in order to serve God and see great things happen. God could use any heart that is willing to follow him and step into by faith. God can use those without talents. So talents are important and helps. Spiritual gifts are a real thing, certainly. But maybe not think that because of our talents and gifts that equates with being effective for the kingdom of God. Chuck Hartman said, there is an old expression that states, God doesn't call the qualified, rather he qualifies the called. I believe God calls the unqualified people so they will remain dependent on his ability and not their ability. May we never, ever forget that as we journey in through the years and the decades and definitely acquire skills and experiences, but may we never, ever forget it is by his grace. It's not about our gifts and our abilities. God can use those things, but always it is because of God. Moses is trying every excuse in the book. Verse 13, excuse number 4. Lord, my Lord, please send someone else. And what was going on as God was destroying his excuses? I'm not brave enough. I'm actually scared. I'm afraid. And often when a door opens our way, we shy away from it, we hide, we run, we give every excuse in the book, when what it boils down to is we're afraid, we're insecure, we don't want to fail and look bad in front of others. And God reminds them, I will be with you, Moses. God's presence and the staff that he will carry, and his brother that will stand by his side. God will always meet our needs in his ways when he calls us to step into his plans to serve him. And finally, and lastly, here we go, verse 19. All right, go back to Egypt, for all the men who are seeking your life are dead. You know what this means? This means packing up his bags, his tents, his clothes, the kids' toys, his family, the children, his wife, everyone, and literally walking 300 miles to get from Midian to Egypt. This is not just hop on a plane or get in the car or get to the next 300 miles across the desert. This is what God is asking Moses to do. How easy it'd be. I don't have the time right now to completely upend my life and travel 300 crazy miles through the desert to start a new life and to serve you in this way. Talk about inconvenience. Talk about interruption. Talk about having to change your life to carry out God's calling and ministry in your life. If we think discipleship and following Jesus is always to our convenience and our plans and our purposes, our prerogatives, we are greatly mistaken. God is often the great interrupter in our lives. And doggone it, it's no fun. But when he calls, an opportunity arises to serve. Think very, very long and hard of how you will respond before raising up one of these excuses. God may not be calling us to deliver an entire nation from the most powerful man on earth, but he may be calling you to something a little bit smaller, but still just as significant. And so every day as we get up, the opportunity arises to be the hands and feet of Jesus. I love what Peter reminds us in 1 Peter 4. Each one of you use whatever gift he has received to serve others faithfully, administrating God's grace in various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If he serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and power forever and ever. And so, is God inviting you to an opportunity to serve, to make a difference, to move out of our life of comfort and convenience and busyness and self-kingdom building, to really think about building the kingdom of God? If you need a season of rest, please do rest. I give you permission. God gives you permission. But don't let that turn out to be a permanent break from being engaged in the lives of others, because God calls us to pursue him and to pursue people as we serve. And so we go back. Rick Warren's challenge that I often return back to all the excuses, God will respond, sorry, wrong answer. I created, saved, and called you and commanded you to live a life of service. What part did you not understand? If you're not involved in any service or ministry, what excuse have you been using? And so, in a few moments after we celebrate the Lord's Supper and communion, as we conclude in worship, and as you exit these doors, truly, no more ifs, ands, or buts. Every ministry represented here at Trinity, there'll be representatives there. Our goal isn't just to capture your information so we're going to hound you. That's not the goal of how we gauge if this was successful or not. But if we can see our folks take one step closer to fulfilling God's plan and purposes for you and your family and your lives, then I think that was a success. And so take time, ask questions, explore, no matter who of the six servers you might be or what excuses you have been using, plunge right in. There's no better way to experience the joy and the blessing and the heart of God and being engaged and serving others in the name of Jesus Christ. And so, yes, a very practical opportunity to engage in service as you step out these doors and see our volunteers, our leaders, ready to invite you in as you take that step of faith. And so, this morning, what excuse have you been using? How might God be inviting you to an opportunity to engage with his kingdom as he calls us to serve with joy and privilege and honor as we give glory back to God?